All right, let's begin tonight in the book of Hebrews. All right, the book of Hebrews. I know. Shocked you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Can't find it. It's right after Genesis. Yeah, we're going to have to scoop Bill back. He annoys me. Do what? Go sit with John. That's a good idea. Oh, man, could you imagine that? Whew. Yeah, that's got trouble written all over it. All right. This, of course, is the faith chapter. This is the Hebrew Hall of Fame on the subject of faith. Every person who is mentioned here is explained by his faith. All right, explained by their faith. And the first thing the author does is he defines faith for us, and then he tells us how that faith is used, how we use faith. In verse 3, he said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. All right, so none of us were there, okay? None of us were there. And so we cannot give eyewitness testimony to what was done. All right, there was only one who was there.
Amen.
All right? And so we have to take his word for it. And that's real easy to do when you study about this book and you come to the inevitable conclusion that this book is God's book. And God cannot lie. And so if it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, then by faith we accept that. All right? So that's what verse 3 is telling us all about, that by faith we understand. All right? We weren't there, but we understand, we believe it by faith. Now, look at the rest of that verse, and in the rest of it you will see that he basically just stays right on the same plane. He said, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All right, now God's a little bit different. Everything we create from something that's already been created. Right? Okay, that's how we do it. All right, but God created the heaven and the earth with nothing. All right? He created it with nothing. He just spoke it and it came into existence. All right, now, we're going to go all the way back now in verse 4. By faith, Abel. All right, now what did we learn about Abel? Well, we learned that Adam taught him the right way to bring a sacrifice and an offering to God. And he did it the right way. And when he did it the right way, his offering was accepted. Okay, so by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. All right, so then the next one. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. All right, so think about that. He's translated that he should not see death. Lester Roloff used to say all the time, I heard him say it, that Enoch had such wonderful fellowship with God. And that every day, God would come and he and Enoch would take off walking and they'd just talk and talk and talk. And they, one special day, they went walking out the road and they just kept going and just kept talking. And finally, God looked down at his watch and said, Enoch, man, look how late it is. I tell you, we're closer to my home than your home. How about you just come up and go with me? And he was not, for God took him. Now, you'd have to know Lester Roloff to, I mean, it took him a half an hour to tell what I just told you in 1 minute. But yeah, Enoch, by faith, he was translated that he should not see death. All right, so now look at verse 6. And we find that Enoch pleased God, but now look at verse 6, and the author says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. The him is God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, now one more verse. Look at the next one, verse 7. By faith, who?
Noah.
Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. In other words, God warned Noah about the wrath and the judgment that was coming. He didn't see it yet. He didn't see it yet, but he was warned that it was coming. All right, so not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for this passage of Scripture that tells us about the faith of these men that we have already studied in our Wednesday night Bible study time. And Father, I pray now that as we look at the next person here, as we look at Noah, I pray that you will bless what we're going to learn tonight. Give us understanding, and Father, help us to see the Lord Jesus in the lesson tonight, clearly standing there, boldly standing there. And so, Father, I pray that you will just open our understanding to the things of the Lord tonight. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want us to move ahead now in the book of Genesis and look at this man, Noah. Now, I read for you out of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and I want you to consider this verse, and we're going to turn back to Genesis 6 in just a moment. But let me read this verse one more time, all right? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. All right, now hold or put something there, because I want to come back to it in just a little bit. But go over now, or back now, to Genesis chapter 6. All right, Genesis chapter 6. And I want you to look at verse 5. It says in chapter 6 and verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. I wonder what God thinks now. Huh? I doubt he's too pleased. All right? Then it says, "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his," man's heart, "was only evil." What's the next word? In other words, just like today, they don't stop. It just doesn't stop. All right, read on. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will," next word, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But Noah found what?
Grace.
Amen. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want to show you several avenues, several areas where I hope to point out to you the Lord Jesus standing clearly and vividly in this crucial account of Noah and the building of the ark and the great flood that covered the earth. Folks, these are, and I've said this to you many, many times, but these first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are so crucial. You take these 11 chapters out, or you discredit them, or you say it's just fable. Whenever you do that, what you are doing is whittling away at the foundation pillars that hold up this Bible. You cannot kick the support out from under the Word of God by discrediting these 11 chapters. And yet that is exactly what the world has been doing for many, many years now. We are told here in these verses and in the seventh verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, that Noah, by faith, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now, that little statement right there is very important. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And folks, listen, we are all saved the exact same way today by faith as was Noah. Noah believed, he had faith in the Word of God, and he believed the Word of God, and he was saved because of it. And now here we are, 4,000 years later plus, here we are, and it's the same thing, faith, the same thing that must be applied from us to the Word of God, all right? And when we put faith in what the Bible says, we are putting faith in the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the Word. All right, so here we are. We've got the Word of the Gospel. We've got the gospel message. We've got the message of redemption. And just like Noah had faith in the Word of God, we must have faith in the Word of God. And we must not miss seeing that the Lord Jesus is pictured back here in Genesis 6 with this ark that Noah prepared. Everything that God told Noah to do in these chapters, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, everything that God told Noah in these chapters to do, you can hopefully at the end, when we get through these chapters, you can hopefully look at your Bible and shine a little light down on it and see the Lord Jesus standing there, because he's all over the flood. He is all over the ark. He is all over Noah. Everywhere you look, you're going to see the Lord Jesus in these four chapters. All right, so don't miss it. That's my counsel to you. I mean, it is just another of the innumerable portraits and pictures of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. It is just another picture that we can see. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, has now redeemed us. He died on that cross. We put faith in him. We get saved. And just as Noah was spared from the judgment of the flood, from the wrath of God through the flood, we, with faith in Christ today, we have an ark of safety that keeps us from dying in the eternal fires of hell. All right, now you remember when at the end of this, when the earth, when the water began to abate upon the earth, the Bible says that God put the bow in the clouds. He put the rainbow. And he said to Noah, "You see that rainbow? I've put that there as a promise that I am never going to destroy the world by water again." All right, so here we are now on the other side of the flood. Here we are now with Christ having died and been buried and resurrected and then ascended. We are now redeemed by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith that we have in him, just as Noah was spared the wrath and judgment hand of God, we are now spared the wrath and the judgment hand of God. We don't have to worry about hell once you're saved. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to worry about it. I mean, you are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You had nothing to do with it. He's the one that saved you. And now that he has saved you, you cannot get unsaved. You just can't. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." You were born the first time physically, but Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born the second time spiritually. All right? And so you cannot get unborn. If you're born, you cannot get unborn. It's impossible. Think about that. What could you possibly do to get unborn? You can't. And there's no way that you can lose your salvation. You got saved by faith in Christ. Who saved you? Jesus did. All right? So you didn't have anything to do with it. You say, well, what if I sin? No, not what if. What when I sin? Well, your sins are covered. All right? Salvation is you get forgiven of your old sin. You get forgiven of your present sin. You get forgiven of all the sins you will ever commit in the future. That's a pretty good salvation, if you want my personal opinion. All right, so we cannot lose a faith in the promises that we have in the pictures that we see of our salvation. And so here in chapter 6, we see the world. I mean, you could put us in there before we were saved. All right? You could just put us in there that God saw the wickedness of man in verse 5. He saw that wickedness. Well, what did he see when he looked at you before you were saved? What did he see when he looked at me? I'm telling you, he saw wickedness. He saw a sinner. But then you get saved and everything changes. You are now a born again person. So folks, we must not miss seeing the Lord Jesus in the ark that was prepared by Noah in that 120-year period. Now, it's so full of picture, and I'm going to point them out to you over the next several weeks. Now, these pictures are going to be in these first 11 chapters, what we've been looking at. All right, these first several chapters in the book of Genesis, they are so vital, and that's why they have been so violently attacked by the critics and by the infidels and by the unbelievers more than any other book in the entire Bible. They hate the book of Genesis. It is hated by the religious liberals. God, however, certainly anticipated the attack upon the book of Genesis. No doubt about it. He anticipated the attack. And so he made sure, as we have already learned over the last several months, God made sure that he filled its pages with so many pictures and types of the Lord Jesus and filled it with the coming events of the Lord Jesus that there would be so that there would be no excuses, absolutely no excuses for anyone not accepting it as the inspired, eternal, infallible Word of God given to us through divine revelation. All right, now how in the world, folks, how in the world could all of these pictures be here and be so clear and it not be inspired of God? It has to be. How's that poem go? The Holy Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I would not, if I could, believe that good men wrote it to deceive. And I would not, or could not, think that bad men wrote it. There's no way why would a bad man write the Bible? You know? So it goes on to say, I can't remember how all the verses right now, but it goes on to say, so it must be that God inspired the souls and pens that the prophets fired. It must be of God, folks. I mean, how else could you explain how all of these pictures of our Savior and of the salvation that He provided, and how else could you explain it? We've already read a little while ago, there's Enoch all the way back before the flood. And there's a picture of the rapture right there when the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds and calls us home. I mean, it's there in on every page. You can see pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's really important that we understand and we accept and we know and we believe that this great book is historically accurate. Here's another thing to think of. You know, it's the only record that we have of these things. All right? It's the only record we have of creation. You're not going to find the story of creation in your Reader's Digest. You're not going to find it in World Book Encyclopedia. All right? It's not there. You say, well, how do we know where we came from? The Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So there's no other record, folks. There's no other record of the fall of man. How do we know about man and about sin and about the fall of man and why we are like we are? It's in the Bible. The Bible explains that to us. So, folks, if Genesis is a myth, stay with me now. If Genesis is a myth, as the humanists and the liberals and the infidels and the modernists and all the rest of them, if it's a myth, then the Lord Jesus, who endorsed these first 11 chapters, He talked about Noah. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. So if Jesus believed in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, that's good enough for me. Amen. I'm going to believe it too. All right? So if Genesis is a myth, then the Lord Jesus, who endorses the first 11 chapters, becomes a myth as well. And I don't think He's a myth. All right? So, to the spiritually enlightened mind, the evidence is overwhelming and convincing, as we have already seen in our earlier studies. All right, now, let's think about what we learned. Go back for just a moment. No, don't go back there yet, because I've got to do one other thing. All right, here's the first thing I want you to see. Here's the first picture. We need to see that the ark originated in the heart of God. All right, now think about that. The ark originated in the heart of God. Let me say it this way. The idea of an ark for the preservation of Noah and his family originated in the mind and heart of God Almighty. You say, well, what's the point? Here's the point. Same point that it was with Adam and Eve. You remember they put on fig leaves and God said, No, fig leaf religion's not going to cut it. All right? I've got to provide. You remember what Abraham said to Isaac? Isaac said, Dad, we got the wood. We got the fire. Where's the lamb? And Abraham looked down and said, Son, God will provide himself a lamb. All right, so the Bible's consistent. All right, salvation is not the invention of man. It was not because Noah, alarmed by the increasing wickedness of man that we read about in verse 5 and 6, it was not because Noah, alarmed by the increasing wickedness of man, perceived that judgment was certainly coming soon, so he sought for a plan whereby he might build the ark just to spare his family from that judgment. No, sir. No, sir. Noah had nothing to do with it. All right? This whole thing was from God. There is really not even a hint that Noah anticipated a flood coming. All right, read the story. All right, now look at another thing here. Look at chapter 2 for just a moment. All right, look at chapter 2 for just a moment. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. All right, everybody got it? It says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had caused, For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and the mist watered the whole face of the ground. All right, so what's the point? Well, here's the point. It evidently had not even rained up to that point. You see that? I mean, God had not caused it to rain. It didn't rain yet. And the first mention of rain is when they got Noah and Mrs. Noah and the three boys and their wives on the ark, and then it started to rain. All right, so what's the point? Well, the point is, God watered the earth through the dew that fell and through the mist that came up from the ground and through the fountains of the deep, or the water that is under the ground. And don't forget, there was that canopy that shrouded the earth and acted like a layer of insulation that protected the earth from the extreme weather that we have today. All right? So when God told Noah that it was going to rain, well, it had never done that before, much less this great deluge that happened when it did start to rain. So massive that it would cover the entire earth. Now, folks, if you don't believe in a universal flood, you have not had your eyes open. It's just that simple. All right? It's very clear that the flood was all over the earth. It was everywhere. All right? So So personally, I do not think that Noah could have possibly conceived in his mind just how huge what was coming would be. I don't think he could comprehend, I don't think he had the ability to just comprehend how devastating that flood was going to be upon the earth, that wrath, that judgment. So folks, my point is, before the waters of the flood came and before the judgment of God Almighty upon wicked mankind, before that was all unleashed, instruction was given to Noah to build an ark. Before any of it ever came, God told him, build the ark. So here's my point. The idea for the salvation of Noah and his family already existed in the mind and heart of God. God knew exactly what he was doing when he told him to build that ark. He knew exactly what he was doing. All right, so God foreknew the wickedness of man in those days before the wrath of God fell, and he also knew that he would send the wrath and judgment of the flood upon the world. God knew all that. But in his wrath, God remembered Noah, and he planned for his safety beforehand. All right, now don't forget, folks, back here in chapter 3 and in verse 15, we've got a promise. You remember that? You remember that? The first mention of the gospel. I will put enmity. All right, so man already had the promise. So God could not destroy everyone. All right? Couldn't destroy everyone. He had to have one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because if he destroyed everybody, the promise was broken. Nod your head. You see that? All right, so what's the point? Point is this: God planned our redemption. God planned our salvation. Just as the ark was planned by God and God alone, so too was the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty planned all along to send his Son, the Lord Jesus, to meet the judgment of sin typified by the flood and to make provision for the safety of those who trust him. So the point is, folks, God planned our redemption. God knew the sinfulness of man, and God knew that his wrath will one day be poured out upon sinful mankind again. And so God made, just as he made provision for Noah with the ark, Jesus is our ark. Folks, read the last book of the Bible. I'm telling you, the wrath is coming. It's coming. It's coming in a big way. But the good news is, those of us who are in the ark, all right? Those of us who are in the ark, we're safe. Let it storm. We're safe. We're safe in Christ. Now, let's see this truth from Scripture, and then we'll be done for tonight. Go over, please, to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Peter. All right, now, here's what I've been doing with all these. All right, I give you the character, or I give you the event, or I give you the thing, whatever it may be, all right, then I explain it, show you Jesus. Now we're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to, these are going to be the nails that hold it together, all right? So look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want you to look at, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from the Catholics. No, that's not what it says, is it? I'm sorry. How did I miss that? No, received by tradition from your fathers. All right? That's not how you got saved. Well, then how did I get saved? Well, if you're saved, this is how you did it. Verse 19. But with the precious, what? Blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Now watch this. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for us. You see, folks, here's the point. God knew. He planned our redemption for us, just like he planned to spare Noah and his family. God planned the Lord Jesus before the foundation of the world to come and do what was necessary on Calvary's cross so that you and I could be redeemed from sin, so that we could be saved. All right? So God knew that he was going to send the Lord Jesus to be our ark. All right? Turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation, chapter 13, for just a moment. And look at the eighth verse. All right, so God knew what Noah would need. He knew what was coming. God knew what was coming. He knew why it was coming. And so he told Noah, build an ark. Didn't explain, just said, build an ark. I'm going to destroy man. I'm going to wipe him off the face of this earth. I'm going to start over with you. But also God knew that I needed a Savior. Oh, by the way, God knew you needed a Savior. Okay? And so just as he took care of Noah, look at verse 8, chapter 13, the book of the Revelation. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, all the way back, before God even created this world, in God's mind, Jesus, the Lamb of God, had already been crucified for our sins. It's all been planned, folks. How many times have I stood behind this pulpit and said to you, God has a plan, and that plan is right here in this book. And the reason that so many Christians don't know the plan is because they don't read the book. That's where the plan is. And it's not disguised. It's not in code. It's not a secret. It's available to anyone who wants to know it and who wants to understand it. All right? So, again, the Holy Spirit tells us that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And my point is tonight, God planned the ark to provide Noah safety in the storm. And folks, the Lord God of heaven sent his only begotten Son, the Lamb of God. Why? To provide us safety from the storm that's coming. And it's a coming. You can write that down. It'll be here before we know it. All right, so that's getting us started on Noah. All right. What a great story this is going to be. You're going to enjoy Noah. All right. Okay, let's pray. Father, we now thank you for the Bible and thank you for telling us about Noah. And Father, we're so thankful that he is a picture, that ark is a picture of our salvation. It's a picture of what Jesus did for us. And Father, just as Noah was spared the judgment, Father, we are spared the judgment of hell because we know Jesus as our Savior. And Father, thank you for what you have done for us. I pray that you will seal this in our hearts and help us, Father, to understand just exactly what Jesus did for us. Bless it now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.